This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. Wednesday, May 28th, marked Red Shirt Day across Canada. It's a day of action for accessibility and inclusion, observed each year on the Wednesday of National Accessibility Week. Those observing wear red as a symbol of solidarity and support for Canadians living with disabilities to celebrate their achievements and pledge a commitment to creating a more accessible and inclusive society. The Accessibility and Inclusion Initiative at UMBC put on an event at the University Student Center. There, a number of students, staff, administration, faculty, and community members gathered to network, have a little snack, and hear some speakers advancing this issue. During the event, revisions to UMBC's accessibility plan were announced, and the event rounded out with a keynote speech from Kaho Michihara, a Master of Social Work student exploring anti-oppressive social work, who brings a perspective of her own experience of ableism to her work and research. We caught up with her after the event, but as the speakers kicked off, key coordinator, Professor Rihanna Robinson, introduced Clayley Tanay elder Phyllis Seymour, who found the courage to share her deeply personal story.
So my name is Rihanna Robinson. I'm an associate professor in the Department of First Nations Studies at UNBC. This is the fourth year that we've hosted the Red Shirt Day event. And every year it just gets bigger and more people engaged, and this is wonderful. It's been a bit of a muted day for some reason provincially, and I'm not sure why, so I'm really grateful to see everybody that has gathered to hear from our speakers this afternoon and just have some dialogue together. We are really, really fortunate today to have numerous guest speakers, but before that, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about our agenda, I would like to invite Elder Phyllis Seymour up.
Eddie, I just like to say on behalf of our Chief Darlene Logan and our counselors, our youth and our elders, that we welcome each and every one of you here today to our ancestral traditional territory of Clayley Tanay. Today, it's always a pleasure for me to be coming to UNBC and talking about accessibility. I just want to share a short story. As an Indigenous person, having to go through all the stuff that has to do with accessibility. In 2014, my 16-year-old son, he was shot in the back in a hunting accident. And it was very life-changing for us. And we live on the reserve, and it was tough times. Back then, I never heard the word disability. I've never, ever had to think about anything that had to do with disability until my son was paralyzed from his T7. The things we had to go through with this tragedy with our son, him being 16, he was playing hockey, he was playing baseball, he was very into sports, and just the one night, our whole life changed. I think the biggest part as a mother or any parent that have to go through this is being their biggest advocate. I was in Vancouver. I had to stay with Trent for 6 months. Most of that was at BGH, and the other part was at GF Strong. At GF Strong, it was a place where we had to learn, Trent had to learn everything as being in a chair. As a mother, it broke my heart to see Trent in a chair every day. It changed my life, it changed our whole family, our community. But we learned to live with Trent being in a chair. So every day, till this day, I always advocate for disability. Like even with simple things as going to a restaurant, and when you have to ask for a table that you can simply move one chair, but it's such a big issue but it's something so simple. So we go through that, and I would just like to say that Trent is his home. He has his own house. He drives his own vehicle. And I would say nothing gets in his way. He's 25 now, and he's doing really good. And he used to speak in a lot of conferences. He used to work at Spinal Cord BC in Vancouver, and one of his best friends that he still texts a lot today is Rick Hansen. Him and Rick Hansen became very good friends in Vancouver. Trent did a lot of the wee days and conferences, and this one young lady, I'll never forget her story when she desperately wanted to meet Trent after the big wee day speech he did. She handed a note on the stage, and she said, I need to meet Trent. I need to talk to him. So Trent called her, and the only thing she wanted to tell Trent was how nice looking he was. But his story, it's a very good story that he shares. And one day I wish he can make it up here and tell his story, because he has quite the story. And as a young Indigenous man, he's thriving, and he never lets his disability ever affect him. He's doing a lot of great things for his people. He's back on the reserve, and he talked to a lot of young men. He's a big advocate. He's in a men's group that we started on the reserve. And people just like coming. They like to share each other's story. And Trent shared his story one day to all the young men, the older men, the grandpas. And they were just like, they couldn't believe it. Trent showed them what forgiveness was. And his best friend that did shot him in the back, it was an accident. And for Trent to forgive him was the biggest part of his healing. And yeah, I just want to share his story, and I just want to thank Rihanna for having me here. And it's always beautiful to come and share stories, and that's how we get to know each other. And Masi Cho for having me.
The audience was clearly moved by that story and listened intently to the following speakers. The keynote speaker, Kaho Michihara, is pursuing her Master of Social Work at the University of Northern British Columbia. She highlighted a number of key accessibility challenges during her experience here at the university and in Northern BC, being introduced to continued sub-zero temperatures in our winter months, and also some social stigma surrounding ableism, which is the discrimination of and social prejudice against people with disabilities based on the belief that typical abilities are superior. At its heart, ableism is rooted in the assumption that disabled people require fixing and defines people by their disability. Obviously, the state of mind is a hindrance, to say the very least, and events like Red Shirt Day attempt to address and undo these attitudes in our society. Ms. Michihara explores this to an extent in the latter part of our conversation. But first, we wanted to ask her what was working in terms of accessibility in our community of Prince George Clearly today, and she had some positives to share.
The main accessibility challenge I always face is the transit. So as a person with visual impairment, I cannot drive a car. In small cities, people need to rely on their car to navigate around the city. And I've been in Prince George for almost 2 years, and they came from Quesnel. And both Prince George and Quesnel had handed out sharing bus ride services for people with disabilities and elderly people. And in Quesnel, Handy.org works Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And that was hard for me to use the service after school or during the weekend. But in Prince George, Handy.org works from Monday to Friday, later time as well. They work in the evening and they work during the weekends too. That helped me to be navigated around the city and go where I want to go when I want. And yeah, I'm so grateful for Handy.org services. That's a big accessibility feature helping my life.
The example of public transit as a essential service is pretty interesting. And with that, though, I mean, there's lots of people who complain about public transit, you know, in our town, across the province. A lot of people have an issue to pick on with transit, but it's a critical service. That said, though, are there any particular shortcomings that are present, maybe hindered your experience of accessing aspects of transportation?
Yeah, I'm so grateful for Handy Dirt, but it is still a little bit hard for me to book an appointment, especially in the winter, because people are more needing in like using Handy Dirt, and there are more people in Prince George than Quesnel, and there are more buses operating, but it's still in the winter. The buses are pretty busy, and That's a little bit difficult for me to use the services as much as in summer. And it'd be great if we could have more rideshare services that will help the life of people with disabilities easier.
It's interesting that you note the stress on the system as the seasons change in terms of actually rider use. In northern British Columbia, accessibility as a concept isn't yet thoroughly familiar. It's not on the tip of everyone's tongue necessarily, but it's beginning to be integrated, particularly as our population begins to acknowledge an aging population in planning and infrastructure. We're on the vanguard. We're lacking a lot, but there's a lot of potential for development, both in our physical built environment and socially. Have you heard of an accessibility initiative, a feature, or perhaps just an attitude that maybe seems far off now in your experience here in Prince George that you really wish was present or established here right now?
Yeah, many people are not used to meeting people with disabilities, and I often face in a situation that they said I am the first person with visual impairments to work with them, and they're pretty overwhelmed. And I'm okay to explain everything they need, but it might be their first time, but I need to meet those persons a lot and explain everything they need every single time. That's sometimes a little bit exhausting. And I think it's crucial to let people have more chances, more opportunities. I mean, like more educational opportunities to learn about disability and accessibility at school, work, or in the community so that they can learn and prepare to work with people with disabilities. That makes both of our lives easier and our communication easier. Sometimes people do not know what to do with the persons with disabilities, but they want to help. But when they don't know about disabilities, they sometimes do inappropriate thing without their intention. I face a situation in which people grab my cane, grab my arm without saying anything, or push my back, and that's not helpful, actually. That just makes me scared. But that's not like completely on them. Like they have not had a chance to learn about it. So I think more educational opportunities and learning opportunities at their work, school, and like in the community-based education or workshops to learn about disabilities and accessibilities are really helpful.
Thanks so much for that perspective. You're studying social work. You're taking your master's here at UMBC. Do you feel like you have a particular perspective that you bring to that profession and that area of work that perhaps is currently being overlooked? Is there anything you want to bring to the table that perhaps isn't there right now?
Yeah, so I value anti-oppressive social work perspectives, acknowledges oppression existing in the society against marginalized people. So in the context of people with disabilities, we need to face a lot of forms of ableism in our everyday lives. But when we discuss some issues related to some social issues related to disability, we still tend to focus the issue as an individual problem of the people with disabilities. So, for example, when I face some accessibility issues, they often say, go to your case manager, go to your counselor to figure out those issues. And this is then still a general perceptions of disabilities, and they might take an accessibility issue as my individual problem, but accessibility is a human right and accessibility issue is a social problem. But still, the society still focuses disability issues as an individual problem rather than the social issues which needs to be fixed.
Based on your statement, it makes me understand a little more just how critical awareness is, and events like Red Shirt Day being present in our community hopefully can advance this issue and bring it to the forefront, to the thoughts of people, just a bit more.
Yes, yeah, awareness is very important. We need to be aware of the reality first to make change. So Red Shirt Day is a great opportunity for me to present and contribute to raising awareness of the importance of accessibility.
Thank you so much for speaking to the audience today, and thanks for taking the time to speak with me. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.